Welcome to Body Ecology's training series. Today, we're going to learn how to improve your thyroid and adrenal health for maximum anti-aging benefits with Donna Gates, best-selling author of The Body Ecology Diet and creator of the Body Ecology System of Health and Healing. Welcome, Donna.
Thank you, Heather. Really glad to be here, and this topic is one of the most important topics, I think, that we could possibly talk about.
I agree with you, Donna. You know, it seems like it is not only one of the most popular, but also one of the least understood. And what I love is that you have such a deep understanding about how these important organs work and also the natural ways that we can nourish them. So that's what we're going to talk about today so that everyone can learn to feel energized and vibrant again. So let's get started. Donna, could you start out by helping us understand what are the adrenals and why are they so important?
Well, if you understand the Body Ecology 7 principles and you understand the principle of step-by-step, you know that there are four things that we have to be doing to begin to get well. And this is something really critical. Very few people know this principle or know how to practice this principle. Most medical professionals that people are going to for help and guidance don't understand this principle, so they're really not helping people get well. But that step-by-step principle says that you have to be doing four things at the same time at the beginning of your path to get well or to lose weight or to have a healthy baby or whatever your goal is. You have to be focusing on these four things. And then here's what they are. You have to create energy. You have to conquer any infections that are going on in your body. And you have to correct digestion, so you digest your foods better. That would even include, you know, if many people are constipated, that's part of digestion. And the fourth thing is you've got to cleanse out toxins in your body. Well, all these four different things, the first one, remember, is creating energy, but the other three are also about energy as well. You have to have energy to correct digestion. You have to have energy to have a strong immune system, and you have to have energy to create to be able to have the ability to cleanse toxins out of your body. As a matter of fact, people that have strong signs of cleansing, they think there's something wrong with them, but it's their body just pretty much screaming that it's needing to get toxins out of it. That is a wonderful sign, actually, that person has a lot of energy or life force still left in their body. That's really what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about life force. And the adrenals are tiny little organs, but they've been given this very important responsibility of creating the energy in our body. Not all by themselves, but they have probably the most significant role to play in creating this energy. When I say tiny, they're not that tiny. They're about the size of a walnut, and they sit on top of your kidney, and they do very, very important things for us. And most people don't understand the importance of your adrenals. But it's essential to understand them if you're going to get well and you're going to create the energy for everything else to heal in your body.
And they have important roles that around hormone balance and hydration and things like that, too. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, they do. The sexual hormones that we know a lot about, like estrogen and progesterone and testosterone and others that are not so well known, like pregnenolone, they're all produced in our adrenals. Adrenaline and noradrenaline, those are also produced in our adrenals as well. And so they're little organs, as I said before, but they produce these absolutely critical hormones. And when we're not producing these sexual hormones, we have all kinds of hormone imbalances. We also age very early. But the adrenals are also responsible for hydration. So people are walking around, you know, drinking bottles of water all day long because we've been told to do that. But if you have weak adrenals, you'll always be dehydrated no matter how much water you drink. And also, people don't realize the important connection between our adrenals and our brain function. Like if you don't have healthy adrenals, whenever your adrenals are down, it'll be difficult to focus and to have the willpower you need to accomplish things in life. We are spacey and have memory problems when we're tired and when our adrenals are weak.
So it's pretty amazing the amount of things that we symptoms that we could have with adrenal fatigue, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. I wanted to ask you first, though. It seems like these days many people are experiencing this condition known as adrenal fatigue. Can you talk about adrenal fatigue and why it's happening?
Well, it is kind of a these days issue more than ever. I think that, you know, until fairly recently, people lived in simple times, and that doesn't mean that early man and even ancient man, like our recent ancestors, or even back, you know, 1,000 years ago, man living on this earth is full of stress. Like the early ancestors didn't have comforts that we have today, but they still had to hunt and forage for food, and it wasn't available, and they still had to watch out for enemies, perhaps attacking and killing them. So I don't think we've ever had a time, and no animal, including a human animal, has ever lived on a planet where we didn't have stress. But today it's so highlighted because we have all these gadgets like computers and cell phones, and people are texting us every few minutes, and then you turn on the news and it's depressing about all the bad things that are happening in the world, and lots of people are concerned about 2012 because we've been told that that's really a big shift coming. And you know, we go to sleep at night and probably don't even have any idea that we go to sleep with a lot of worry on our mind. And so we're really under stress at all times, and stress absolutely slams the adrenals. So I would say that everybody today is experiencing a certain form of adrenal fatigue, or even complete adrenal burnout, which is when your adrenals are no longer producing an important hormone called cortisol. You need a little bit of cortisol, you know, to be able to heal and just have energy. But when you produce too much of this hormone and it's produced in the adrenals, when you produce too much cortisol, which happens when you're under stress, it also happens when you are, and you're protein malnourished. So you eat protein, but you're not digesting it properly, and you're protein malnourished. That's another time that cortisol goes up. And whenever your cortisol goes up, you're going to be producing, you're going to have a lot more sugar in your bloodstream, and then that's going to feed yeast. And of course, these infections create more stress on the body. Outside toxins are creating stress on the body. So we're just living in a lot, inside and outside toxins. I do want to make that point, because you hear all the time about the toxins from outside of us, exogenous toxins, and they are not so great to have, for sure, but I honestly think that the worst toxins are the toxins coming from inside the body. All of this is producing stress, and so we are never really able to recover from and recover our adrenals and make them strong again. So it's a serious, serious problem today. Poor nutrition, the high-sugar diet we have just slams the adrenals. People are really into caffeine, whether it's into chocolate or it's into coffee. You know, I keep getting these emails on these new studies showing about how good a little bit of chocolate is for you. Well, the dark chocolate, a little bit of that, and particularly if you can get some with no sugar in it, or very, very, you know, like minimal, like 88% or 75%, that's very little sugar in chocolate. And so many even doctors are saying, oh, it's okay to have that. But nevertheless, chocolate, coffee, and so on, they're very rich in caffeine. And caffeine shoots your energy up, and there's all kinds of other things happening in the brain with dopamine and all, but it shoots our energy up, and then bang, we have this crash afterwards, whether it's a sugar crash or a caffeine crash. That slams our adrenals, and that's such a common thing. We have no energy, so people go after energy by going for the caffeine or going for the sugar, and that helps just for a little while, and then bang, there's a crash, and then it takes us lower than we were before. So it's just like people are not even able to begin to restore their energy again, and it's the most important thing you can do if you're going to create another life, if you're going to stop aging, if you're going to digest your food, if you're going to heal from anything, if you're just going to be a happy person. We have to have energy, even to sleep at night. We have to have energy to sleep. So this is a really, really important subject here. That's why maybe if it's all anyone ever needed to know about health, this is the most important thing probably to know.
Absolutely, and especially when you look around today, and I don't think any of us has missed the news shows or the articles on how children are all drinking these energy drinks, and many children are getting very ill as a result of drinking this, and you have to wonder what's happened to our energy. Why are children turning to energy drinks with, like, Monster and Red Bull? Why is it that they can't come in with their own energy and through natural means be able to keep their energy stable? It seems like there's a real deficit these days, not even just with adults and people as they age, but with children as well.
Well, that's so true. And another big problem, you know, just kind of globally in all the Western countries is weight gain. And, you know, you could be eating quite healthy, but the stress that shoots up your cortisol levels, that you're gonna be overweight and bloated and puffy looking all the time. So that it's very critical to build strong adrenals. Now, many children, particularly a couple of generations ago, they had a lot of energy that they brought into the world. And so if they were under stress or if they ate chocolate when they were young, you know, their body still looked good and they still had energy. As they got older, and I really saw this recently when I was in Australia, because the Australians, when they're young, are really very fit and very good-looking people. But then you look at them when they're baby boomers, and all of a sudden, what happened to that amazingly fit man or woman? You know, where do they go? But in Australia, they do drink a lot of alcohol, and they don't really eat very well, pretty much like us, a little bit better than us, but they still have, you know, too much sugar and refined foods in their diet, that's for sure. And sure enough, all of a sudden, their energy's gone, and their youthful beauty and is replaced by early aging, unnecessarily aging. They don't have the weight problem that we have over in our country. But the other thing I think is really important for people to understand is that a couple of generations ago, people were coming into the world with strong energy. And I'd like to talk more about that energy or what the Chinese call prenatal jing in just a few minutes. But that energy that young children were born with, today, our generation of kids coming in right now, they don't have that same energy anymore. This generation is the weakest generation to ever walk on the planet. And what's happening when a woman, because our mothers that are not guided any better, they get pregnant, and they're very busy and active during their pregnancy. As a matter of fact, that's supposed to be a great thing to do. You know, just ignore your pregnancy. Just be real, real busy. Keep working. But what happens is the mother starts to get tired as the baby gets larger, but she may not even realize that, because in the very beginning of the baby's life, when the embryo is forming and so on, the little adrenals are formed. But in the fifth month, they continue to grow, but in the fifth month, they actually kind of spring to life. That's why some people say that life really begins when that happens. Other people say it's, in Chinese medicine, it's often said too, on the 28th day, that's when life comes into that baby. Because really, on the 28th day, the brain has begun to vibrate, and there's this tremendous connection between the brain and the adrenals, by the way, which I want to get into. But this life force that comes in onto the adrenals in the fifth month, now the mother who's 5 months pregnant suddenly just starts to bloom and look beautiful. And they just think, the woman, you know, everybody thinks, well, oh, she's in her fifth month. That's just the month when the mother looks so good, and she's all this wonderful energy for the next several months. Well, that's because she's now got a second set of adrenals inside of her, like a booster. And so they feel great, and they run around and do all these great things, and then they're starting to deplete their own energy and their baby's energy as well. So babies are born today with very weak adrenals. Each one of us needs to kind of look back to when we were in the womb. What kind of a pregnancy did your mother have while she was carrying you? Did she drink? Was she a nervous wreck? Did she push herself a lot or have to work, maybe she had a really hard life in the beginning, or perhaps even did drugs? I mean, not all of us have the perfect parents, unfortunately. So, you know, a lot of us on the planet today start life with this kind of a strike against us. We don't have the energy that every baby ideally should be born with. So it's not necessarily something we had and we depleted. It may be that we came into the world with a lack of energy, and it's so critical to understand, again, as I said before, is to create energy in your body first and foremost. So we have to focus on the adrenals.
Absolutely, and we're going to, for everyone listening, we're going to be sharing some very specific things that you can do to nourish your adrenals. And right before we do that, what I want to find out is just, because many of you may be thinking, geez, do I have this? Do I have adrenal fatigue? Can you share with us, Donna, what are the signs and symptoms of adrenal fatigue?
Well, they're kind of all over the place, but there's some basic ones. Gosh, poor appetite, aging, gray hair, all the signs of aging, beginning to lose your muscles, and hormone imbalances, depression, a low sex drive. That's very common. I'll ask people on consultation forums, you know, how's your sex drive? They say non-existent. You basically are losing your love for life. One of the good things that I think people need to, a really good thing for people to understand and study is the Chinese five element theory, because if you do, you study that, you'll see this circle, and around the outside of the circle, you can mark right at, say 12 o'clock on the, if you were looking at a clock, right where 12 o'clock would be, and right above that line, you would write down, heart and small intestine, and then go right around to the 2 o'clock, where 2 o'clock would be in a clock. Then you can write there, you can write spleen, stomach, pancreas. Then you can go down to about the 4 o'clock, draw another little tiny line there, and then right beside that, write down a lung and large intestine. Go over to the 7 o'clock and write down kidney, bladder, adrenals, brain and bones. Write all that down there. Kidney, bladder, adrenal, brain and bones, and then go up to about the 10 o'clock place and then write down liver and gallbladder. Well, that is how energy flows around our body. And so if you go down to where you wrote down adrenals, bladder, kidney, brain, and bones, the reason I want people to understand that particular grouping, the adrenals are a filtering organ, and sitting on top of them, the kidneys are the filtering organ. Sitting on top of those are the adrenals. Then the adrenals are, again, affecting the brain, so the brain are on there. When we become depleted in minerals and so on, our bones become deficient and can break easily. And then there's actually a relationship between all of those, bones and brain, as well as adrenals, bladder, and kidney. So those are all grouped together. Now, if you look upwards, you'll see that liver and gallbladder are up at the 10 o'clock mark. That's how energy is beginning to flow. So the kidneys and the adrenals and the bladder and so on, they're feeding energy up to the liver, gallbladder. If there's no energy coming from your adrenals, then the liver, gallbladder is not going to work right. And then there's a whole bunch of things that are going to go wrong there. Then the liver gallbladder feeds around to the heart, small intestine at the top of the circle. Same thing. You're going to have heart problems, problems in your small intestine. As a matter of fact, as the kidneys and the adrenals and all become weaker, it actually pulls energy off the heart, and the person will probably die from the heart attack. This is a very common thing that happens, say, with pilots or even firefighters, because they're under so much stress and the pilots are up in the air, and it's very devastating to fly. Really hurts the adrenals. So as they get older, say into their 50s and so on, it would be very common actually for them to die of a heart attack suddenly, because again their adrenals really were the problem, but it pulled that energy off the heart. Now going around from the heart to the small intestine, you move to your what's called spleen, stomach, pancreas, that's really describing digestion. And so, again, there's no energy to digest your food. That energy is split. If you have plenty of energy there, it feeds around to the large intestine and lungs. So we breathe well, and we assimilate and absorb food and eliminate well in our colon, large intestine, and then the lungs and large intestine then feed energy back. This is a circle, so it's going all the way around, back over to the kidney, adrenals and bladder, heart, brain and bone. So that little group right there is now not being nourished well by the lungs and large intestine. So this flow of energy around the chart basically explains why all kinds of problems begin to appear in the body when we lose that core energy, that adrenal energy. Now, I know that's a little complicated, and if somebody, you know, listening to this can just draw a circle and then just kind of follow my directions, what to write where, and then just watch this, you know, just look, as I explain it, look at the flow of energy going around the chart. And most important of all, if you don't want to do that, is just understand that it all starts with all the problems that are all over the body start with this burnout, basically, of our energy that happens as we get old. Now, the other thing that I'd love to teach people about, it's another concept in Chinese medicine, is that each of us are born with a certain amount of prenatal jing or constitutional created while we were in the womb, or what was created for us, basically. Our mother nourished us well, and because the egg that we're formed from an egg that really comes from our grandmother, we're formed by also by the sperm that comes from our father, and the quality of his sperm is very unhealthy. But all of that determines our life force, how much constitutional energy we are born with. And then whatever it is, whether it's a lot or not as much as we wish it were, we come out of the womb with a special finite amount of this energy. We are not taught to protect this energy and to replenish it. We're never taught that. So we come out, we start eating a lot of sugar, put ourselves under a lot of stress, drink alcohol and do drugs. Some people do marijuana and drugs. All of this is constantly tearing away and depleting that constitutional energy. So then we begin to age and we think it's normal. Well, aren't we supposed to age? Well, yes, we're going to age. Yes, years are going to go by. But no, we don't have to look old, and we don't have to feel old, and we don't have to walk like old people. It's only happening because we're burning up this constitutional energy, which this is all about. This is about energy. So, again, protecting the adrenals and protecting that flow of energy around the body through to all those organs is something that we have to begin to teach people from the moment, really from conception. How can we begin to build energy? If we began to think like this, it would change our whole understanding of medicine. We'd have a whole different system of healing. And even the customers or the patients would begin to demand different things from the drug companies. We'd demand different things from our doctors, and medicine would change, and what we'd start to look for, instead of, you know, fighting germs or, you know, taking vaccines into our body because we're afraid of a virus or something, so we want to build up immunity that way by putting a little virus in our body to build up immunity. Instead of thinking that negative way, we started thinking in this positive way, like, how can we build energy? How can we protect our energy? How can we replenish our energy? If we began to think like that, all kinds of amazing answers would just shower down upon us, and we would have health like we've never had before, and and these physical bodies, which are magnificent creations, would go on and live for hundreds of years, and that would be normal to us then.
Definitely. And you know, I wanted to mention, because I love the concept of really understanding where we are with respect to constitutional energy. Jean Haner, who is the best-selling author of The Wisdom of Your Face, is going to be speaking in this training series. And one of the things that she talks about when it comes to Chinese medicine is the size of ears. That if mm-hmm. if we looked at movies about 30, looked at old movies from the 30s and 40s, we would see people with much bigger ears than we have today. And if you look at kids today, you see very, very small ears. And it's not so much the size of the ear itself, but the size of the ear in relationship to the size of the head. And so we see these very, very small ears these days. And They're supposed to be, when you go to bend the ear, if you put your fingers around your head, near your head, and go to sort of squeeze the ear a little bit, it's supposed to be a little bit firm but also flexible. And we're finding that when you touch people's ears, that they, children's ears, they're so flexible that sometimes they can even fold right up when you touch them. And it's a really interesting way to see how constitutional energy has changed through the years. And so with that said, what can people do then? I mean, if let's say that somebody was looking at their child and they saw that they had very small ears, or they're experiencing symptoms of adrenal fatigue, like poor appetite, you know, low willpower, loss of muscle tone, depression, what can they start doing to nourish their adrenals?
And we need to add to that list not sleeping well and not having children, for example, that have a weak adrenals. Will be diagnosed as being ADD. The worst thing in the world you could do is feed them a diet with a lot of sugar and carbohydrates in it, because it's weakening their adrenals even more. Those same kids don't sleep. They won't go to bed till 11 or 12 at night. They stay up as long as their parents do. That is a sign of weak adrenals in children, along with what you mentioned about the ear. I'm glad you brought that up, Heather. I was actually watching TV a couple of nights ago. Barack Obama was being interviewed with his wife, and Barbara Walters was interviewing them, and he has very short hair. So he's a perfect example of somebody with really big ears. And I was looking at that and commenting to the other people in the room with me that, wow, you know, that's a sign of strong constitutional energy, which you can see in him. He reeks with a good, you know, healthy, strong constitution, like a lot of vibrancy every time you see him. So what can we do if you don't have that? Well, you just have to understand that that's your weakness. That's like your Achilles heel. Or, you know, some of us were born with, you know, great intelligence, and some of us are not as smart. Some of us have, weaker bones, and so you have to, you know, or you may not be the great athlete that your a friend or brother is, but nobody's perfect. We all have, you know, weaknesses, and it's just as important to understand our weaknesses and our strengths, and then play to, you know, use our strengths as much as possible, but take our weaknesses and make them stronger. There's even a saying in Chinese medicine that the weakest can become the strongest, and that would be true. Like, let's say you were born with a tendency toward weak adrenals and a weak constitution, and your sister inherited a really strong constitution, but you took really, really good care of yourself and did all these wonderful things, like acupuncture, for example, is excellent for the energy of the body, and eating the body called you diet with our probiotic rich mineral. We have probiotic rich foods. We have mineral rich foods. It's just a great diet for people to preserve their energy, or to actually build their prenatal gene and to preserve their prenatal gene. The diet is the best. And so let's say you did that, then you would be aging very slowly and not having the health problems that your strong, hearty sister might have had. Now, actually, that is true for me. I was born with a very weak constitution, and because of that, I couldn't go out and abuse myself and drink Cokes and French fries and pizzas like all my friends were. I didn't feel good, and I had candidiasis, of course, which everybody knows. You know, that's what started me on this path, is this weak constitution. But now, at the age of 64, I know I've got more vitality and energy than I've ever had in my life, but much more so than most other people my age, because I was fortunate enough to learn this, and I do practice what I preach. So I'm a perfect example of somebody being born weak that can become stronger as they get older by nurturing themselves well.
That's so helpful to know. And as we talk about a protocol for nourishing the adrenals, I wanted to see if we could talk also about the thyroid, because one of the things that you often teach is how the thyroid and adrenals are paired. So what is it that makes them such an important pair?
Well, they work together like a pair. They are like a happily married couple. The adrenals produce all those hormones, for example, and then the thyroid is the balancer, regulator of those hormones. If the adrenals go down, you can be 100% sure that your thyroid is down. So if you're going to the doctor because you have low energy and you think it might be a thyroid problem, and then they test you and they find out that your thyroid hormones are low, then they put you on thyroid, you know, like something like Armour or Synthroid, this drug, then you will only be taking care of one part of the team. The adrenals need to be nourished as well. It's real interesting because the thyroid, both of them need a huge amount of minerals to work properly, but they literally are, they're in two separate places, but in our body, but the thyroid even reminds me of the adrenals. The adrenals look like little walnuts sitting on top of your kidneys, but if you sort of put them together at the base of your neck, then you have something that looks like a thyroid. But it's just really, I don't ever talk to people, except I have here at the beginning of this talk, but knowing that we were going to get into the thyroid, but normally I would never teach people anything just about their adrenals. I would always teach them how to nourish and take care of their thyroid, because they're really like one unit split up in two different places and given two responsibilities, but they're so intimately interlinked and intertwined that you have to treat them together.
And it's interesting because it seems like all the attention is based off of the thyroid. Like you said, if you go into the doctor or you have low energy, usually they're checking your thyroid hormones, and you know, nobody seems to really be talking to people about their adrenals. And there's such a huge epidemic of thyroid issues. According to the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists, it looks like 27 million Americans have some type of thyroid disorder, although they're saying that half of those cases are undiagnosed. So what are some symptoms that people should be aware of when it comes to thyroid problems? We know that there's hypothyroid and hyperthyroid. Can you address those?
Well, hypothyroid is a low thyroid condition, and I think one of the most common causes of that today are the toxins in our environment and that our body is producing. You see, the endocrine system, and it isn't just the thyroid and adrenal, but those two organs are receiving orders upstream from the hypothalamus and the pituitary. They're making hormones and sending, you know, chemical messages down to the thyroid and adrenal. So I never actually just think about the thyroid and adrenals either. And people are, like, they're going to their gynecologist or their OBGYN, and they're doing, you know, getting their hormones tested. They're going through menopause, let's say, and so the doctor gives them estrogen, progesterone, or testosterone, but they're just working on their adrenals, and or maybe they also work on their thyroid, but that's just part of the team. You must treat you must treat your hypothalamus, and you must treat your pituitary gland too, and feed them. And you can do all that with nutrients, and particularly with foods. And again, our diet is taking care of that. But the endocrine system is very easy to pollute and make it toxic. And that's really what's happening today. And people forget that too. It isn't just that they're getting older and more worn out and weaker. They're actually quite polluted with toxins. Heavy metals, for example, are some of the worst. So the more we can get toxins out of our body, the toxins that are inside of our gut, for example, stored in our small intestine, which I've talked about in other teleseminars before, the more we can get those out of our body and protect our body from breathing in toxins and so on, the more we're going to protect the thyroid and the whole endocrine system. But that is a major cause of low thyroid that people are missing. And that can be called a Hashimoto's type condition. Low thyroid can, I think it's most often associated with everything we talked about before, poor diet, caffeine, everything that slams the adrenals is slamming the thyroid and bringing its energy down, and we call that hypothyroidism. And then hyperthyroid is when it's overactive, and it isn't unusual to swing back and forth between both. I noticed that many people with candidiasis have low thyroid and no energy. And then as they get over their candidiasis, it isn't unusual for a short period of time for their thyroid to become overactive. You have to watch out with an overactive thyroid that the person is getting enough copper in their diet, actually in the cells. And there can be a copper deficiency that is connected to that hyperthyroidism. But again, just doing the right things with diet and the right supplements and all, you can balance the body out. I have to warn people all the time, if they are on the diet and doing the things I recommend, that if they're on a medication, they have to watch real carefully, because usually within that month they don't need that medication anymore, or they need to go back to their doctor and lower that dose tremendously. And this is even with women I've worked with that have had, been on two thyroid medications at a time within a month, didn't need either one of them. So I always want to watch out, people to watch out for that. And then a sign of hyperthyroidism is, one of the most common signs, I would say, is kind of a racing heart and a feeling that your eyes are bothering you. They're kind of bugging out. People have heard me say that foods like the cruciferous, say cabbage, all the vegetables that are part of the cruciferous family, which would be, say, cabbage and Brussels sprouts and kale, those suppress the thyroid. And so you always want to cook them or ferment them. Then also tofu and really too many raw foods can chill the body and bring the thyroid down. The thyroid always needs warming. But those also suppress the thyroid. But if you have an overactive thyroid or hyperthyroidism, then theirs would be good for you. This is an example of how to use food as medicine. That would be a time when you would want to suppress the thyroid a little bit and calm its synergy down. So, temporary doing that. It's really about getting the thyroid back into balance, and that's where we have to get into how to do that. And for both the thyroid and the adrenals.
So let's talk about that. What would be a step-by-step process to nourish the thyroid and adrenals?
Oh, goodness, let's see. Where do you start? first of all, and this is kind of a secret that nobody knows that I like to share with our tribe of people that are all trying to get healthier. There are these wonderful herbs and foods on the planet that are going to help make the adrenals stronger. There's all kinds of adrenal herbs. Like, Chinese medicine has a great understanding of herbs for the adrenals. So going to a Chinese doctor who's skilled in blending formulas with Chinese herbs, that's a really smart thing to do. Other adaptogens like rhodiola, in Ayurvedic medicine, they have ashwagandha. They're all over the planet. There are wonderful, wonderful plants that are good for restoring the energy of the adrenals and thyroid. In the Amazon jungle, there's a ton of them too. But there's a step-by-step. This is another example of the step-by-step principle at work. Before they can really do their job of working, you have to first calm the adrenals down. So if they're in the fight-or-flight mode, in other words, that's what happens if we were to see a lion and all of a sudden start running away, or, you're almost going to have a traffic accident and you just barely look just in time and you avoid it and your heart's racing. Those are examples of our body being in a fight or flight mode, where they're running away or fighting. Now, many of us live in that mode more than we realize, and we have to pull ourselves out of that mode first and foremost before you can begin to nourish and restore the health of your adrenals. Now, how you do that, how do you calm down your body from the fight or flight mode? Well, there's lots and lots of wonderful ways, fortunately, to do that too. Meditating or having beautiful music around you that calms you down, that you start to focus on that music. Even, classical music has a way of beautifully synchronizing the heart and calming down our soul. Essential oils are wonderful. They do that really, really quickly. They immediately go to the brain and help calm us down. Actually making love, having sex, is a very excellent way of calming us down, although it's ironic because you kind of need energy to even want to make love. Love making is a very calming act. Then, there's anything that calms you down, like connecting to something that that lifts your heart, spiritually connects you or opens up your heart, massages, being around people that just when you're with them, you just feel good, laughter, all those things are what first calm us down and take us out of that fight or flight mode. Once that happens, then there's all kinds of delicious foods that start to restore our energy and all kinds of wonderful herbs to use. But that is a really important secret that nobody really understands. They're going out to the health food store and they're picking up a supplement that they think is going to restore their adrenals because it says it will, or they're going to their even if they go to the acupuncturist and he does this great treatment on them and it calms them down temporarily and they feel real balanced, but they've got the stress in their life, bang, it'll go right back so that you're not getting your money's worth out of that treatment. There's just so many things we do, or this constant striving toward more energy where we're going after sugar, where we're going after caffeine. All of that, caffeine is very overstimulating, and that is exactly the opposite of what you need to do to calm down your adrenals so that you can start to restore them.
So I love the idea of, you know, sort of resting and getting calm and connecting and just sort of calming down your adrenals. What would happen then next if someone were to say, okay, I've done this, I'm meditating, I'm deep breathing, I'm getting massages, and I'm feeling a lot calmer. What foods would they focus on? You talked about some herbs like adaptogens, and you also talked about minerals. So if I were to say, you know, I'd like to really focus on nourishing my adrenals, what would my food look like?
You would want to have a very mineral-rich diet that you digested. Now, that's key, and that's one of the things that we specialize in, is improving digestion with our fermented foods so that you can digest the very nutrients that your adrenals and your thyroid need. So both the adrenals and thyroid need mineral-rich foods. That's your ocean vegetables and your dark green leafy vegetables. Those are the top of the list. If you aren't good about eating ocean vegetables because you don't have time to make them or don't know how to make them, you should learn. They're super easy to use. Like, for example, kombu, the sea vegetable kombu, you can go right into the health food store, buy a bag of kombu, soak it, put it in some water, and simmer it. And then you have this great broth that's rich with minerals, and you can cook your quinoa in it or make that as a soup base. Anyway, that is so easy to get minerals from the sea vegetables, but you can also use a product like we have one called Ocean Plant Extract that's actually from, we take 50 pounds of sea vegetable to make 1 pound of the extract, and then that we put into capsules. So three times a day if you're pregnant. You know, you can adjust the amount that a person needs to take, but it's excellent. Also rich in iodine. Now the thyroid needs iodine, it needs selenium, it needs zinc. Thyroid also needs a very, very important amino acid called tyrosine. I'd like to come back and talk about tyrosine, Heather, because it's a really critical that people understand tyrosine. Let's talk about the adrenals first. The adrenals actually need B vitamins and vitamin C, and this is where the diet that we have is just outstanding, too, because when you're eating fermented foods, you bring all these healthy bacteria down into your intestines, and they make B vitamins for you. They make them right down there inside of you, right at the gut wall, so they're immediately assimilated. The microflora are very, very intelligent, so they know which B vitamins to make. Do you need more 6? Do you need more 12? Do you need more vitamin B1, 2, 3, 4, 5? You know, and they will make the ones that you need. So it's so important, too. And everybody that's studied nutrition knows that there's a tremendous connection between B vitamins and energy. So the adrenals need B vitamins, and they also need vitamin C. Now, you take a food on our diet, like fermented vegetables. We encourage people to take cabbage, which is a great source of vitamin C, and then ferment that cabbage. And then now you've increased that vitamin C. It's so much more bioavailable that it's hundreds of times more vitamin C going into your body. just by eating a little serving of cultured vegetables on your plate, you can actually do that. This is why people, when they've been on the diet for a week or 10 days, they start to, you know, have much more energy. And then, now, here's the tricky thing. When your body gets more energy, what it's going to do is start to push out, the cells are going to start to push out their toxins because they want, they've got the energy now to start to get well. And then they push all these toxins out, and then you start maybe feeling bad, like you're flu-like, or your skin might break out, or you're very, very tired, but it's because all those toxins are floating around in you. And this is why we recommend doing colon therapy, especially in the beginning, to get those toxins, to get those detoxification pathways open so that those toxins can leave, because you will definitely create more energy on this diet because you're beefing up your, you're supporting and nourishing your thyroid and your adrenals. So the thyroid needs, the adrenals need minerals, B vitamins, vitamin C, and they need some protein. They particularly love collagen, which you can get, like if you've ever picked up a chicken that's been sitting, and you'll notice this jelly-like substance at the bottom of the tray or the plate. That's collagen, and that's outstanding for your adrenals to eat that. So please don't throw that away and think it's just garbage. Then looking at what the thyroid needs, so you nourish your thyroid by having minerals also, particularly the ones I mentioned like selenium, zinc, iodine is really critical for, and copper is an important one. But really you need all of them to tell you the truth. So you want to just get as many mineral-rich foods into you as you can. That's sea vegetables and green, dark, like I think everybody every day would do really, really well if they had a sea vegetable. Even if you just take a sheet of nori and tear it into strips and eat that, then you're getting some important sea vegetables. And then dark green leafy vegetables, like have kale, collards. You know, those are my favorite dark green leafy vegetables, but have a serving of those every day. All schools should have them. All restaurants should have them available. They're at the top of the list for important, after fermented vegetables, they're at the top of the list for the important foods to take in for your thyroid and your adrenals. And then the thyroid, though, also needs fats, organic, unrefined, or raw extra virgin fats. And then we like the ones that have vitamin A and vitamin D in them are especially good for the thyroid. So that would be your butter and your ghee. Cod liver oil has vitamin A and D. Egg yolks are a phenomenal source of fat, lecithin, for the thyroid. So when people have thyroid problems, I encourage them to have eggs every day, but particularly to have, like, if they're going to, I prefer them to scramble their eggs, just cook them very softly so that they're very easy to digest, and to have them with cultured vegetables. But to make those eggs, you would put in like one whole egg and two yolks, and then you scramble that together. There are some wonderful products on the market. Like if you go to the health food store, you'll see Maine Coast has some products. They call them dulse with garlic, and there's a kelp. You can sprinkle that in your eggs with some good sea salt and then scramble that all together. A lot of times they'll actually take leftover vegetables like kale or like a sea vegetable dish and put that in the bottom of the pan and warm that up, and then pour your scrambled eggs on top and scramble all that together. Those are fabulous foods for the thyroid, and you'll notice that in just about 3 or 4 days your energy will go shooting straight up. So the thyroid needs these good fats. Let's say you made those eggs with the sea vegetables in them, and then you melted some ghee in the pan, and when that was melted, you poured in your egg mixture. Well, that, because of the ghee, it's good for the thyroid. That's a great dish because it's cooked in the ghee, and it's got the eggs with a lot of yolk, and it's got the, just it depends on how you make it. If you just want to do it real simple and you just the eggs by themselves and have some cultured veggies on the plate, you're still going to get a great boost to your thyroid. But eggs are very special foods for the thyroid and for the brain, by the way. And then also coconut oil. Lots of people know that coconut oil is good for the thyroid. It's a very clean burning oil, and it just flashes into the liver and immediately becomes energy. And again, energy is what the thyroid and adrenal are all about. So coconut oil, putting a little spoonful of it in your mouth, two, three times a day, like a half teaspoon a couple times a day is going to give your thyroid energy. You want to think in terms of actually doing something. If you can't, let's say you're really, really recovering from no energy and you want to spend about 10 days or so focusing on your energy, then if you can put some minerals in your body or mineral-rich foods into your body literally every hour and feed those adrenals and your two adrenals in your thyroid, you are definitely going to see a huge change. We have a great, great product that I love for people to take twice a day called Ancient Earth Minerals. Three of those in the morning, three at bedtime. Just tremendous for popping up your energy. If you're really weak, you could even take for about 10 days, six in the morning, six at night. Let's see, some other, it's kind of important. You can take all the adaptogens that I mentioned before. Ashwagandha is excellent. There's another wonderful Ayurvedic herb called holy basil, and they are good to take together, the holy basil and the ashwagandha. The holy basil has a very calming effect, so there you are getting that calming, you know, you're not going to be running away from the tiger anymore, so you'll calm down with the holy basil. That is considered probably the most revered herb in Chinese medicine, in Ayurvedic medicine, is holy basil. And then you take it with the ashwagandha. That's calming, but at the same time, it's energizing. And when people do this, they start to sleep better, their energy starts to come up, their sex drive starts to come up, their brain works better. And, of course, you age very, very slowly. This is the secret to not aging. But it's all about digesting and preparing your foods properly, too. You know, that's where the fermented foods are so critical.
So this is really helpful, Donna. So I might, if I were to get up in the morning, I mean, one of the things that you always teach is to have a green drink to help alkalize your blood in the morning. And so maybe I would have my Vitality Super Green and some potent proteins. And then would I take minerals, ashwagandha, and holy basil in the morning? Like where would you place, where would you have people take that, those adaptogens?
Well, a product like our ocean plant extract, you would want to take that when you first got up for energy. You could take some more again in the afternoon, but you wouldn't want to take it after 4 o'clock because then you could have too much energy. And after 4, you want to start calming your body down so that you start to feel sleepy at night based on how dark it gets. In the wintertime, it gets dark early, and you should start feeling sleepy by about 8 o'clock and actually be ready to go to bed by as early as 9 o'clock. That one has an important timing factor to it. The ancient earth minerals you could take in the morning and at bedtime. The ashwagandha you can take at bedtime because those have a different kind of way of creating energy in the body. They are nourishing and calming, and they feed the adrenals and thyroid. So that's why they can be taken at bedtime. That's the important thing. You don't want to take something that builds energy and stimulating like the ocean plant extract with the iodine. If somebody's taking iodine, they would want to take that in the morning. Now, whenever you cook, let's say you cook a soup or make a meal with sea vegetables in it, they're going to be very calming. You can take those as your last meal of the day. You don't have to worry about that. But the ocean plant extract, because it's so concentrated, remember 50 pounds, eventually everything's taken out of it. That's not really, really important medicine in a sense for the body, so you get down to 1 pound of that. Well, it's going to create a lot of energy, and that kind of energy you don't want in your body when it's time to be sleepy and tired at night. That's how you kind of determine the difference. The ones that are calming, like minerals are always calming, oddly enough. They, with the more minerals that we have in our body, the more calm and focused we are, the better sleep we have, the better our willpower is. You know, the way we're living right now with all the sugar in our diet, the caffeine in our diet, we're really losing our will, our freedom. You know, people today, we get angry because a lot of our rights are being taken away, but by the government, for example. You see this at the airport, you know, with the TSA, people are angry about that, those kind of losing their rights. But we lose our rights every single time we have sugar or caffeine because we're giving up our power to these foods. And generally speaking, as a culture, as a country, we're a very, very weak country. We don't have willpower. we can't accomplish, we don't have the spiritual power to accomplish things in life and really create the kind of world we want for ourselves and for other people. So it's very serious, the addictions that we have and the weakening that's going on and the life force that we're wasting away. That's why I really want people to understand what we're talking about. And I feel like there's so much to say, and I hope that people at the end of this talk are not feeling completely overwhelmed. I'm sure they are, but if they listen to this over and over and over again, it'll start to make so much more sense and sink in and become just kind of just make a lot of sense and sort of be second nature. You'll find yourself making changes in your life based on the importance of understanding at this deep level how really critical it is to nourish the thyroid and the adrenals, feed them well, and all those things that we see as symptoms like aging and poor sleep and lack of sex drive and looking at ourselves in the mirror and think, oh, I don't look very good, I look tired. Those are all symptoms of our losing our life force, giving it up. We have so much choice over that. We don't have to give up our power and don't have to give up our life force the way we've been living all these many, many, I mean, I think man has never understood this. So it's so fortunate that we have this knowledge available to us now.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I wanted to mention to everyone that there are a lot of recipes right on bodyecology.com, and there's wonderful recipes also in the Body Ecology Diet book. And if you're making these foods and following these recipes and you know, choosing the foods that are recommended in the Body Ecology Diet book, you're going to be nourishing your thyroid and adrenals. That's number one, because the diet is already is so nourishing, and it really was built to create energy, correct digestion, conquer infection, and cleanse. So just following everything in the Body Ecology Diet is going to help you. But I want to make sure everyone understands that if you're focusing on your thyroid and adrenals, that's where you're going to be really wanting to bring in the foods that Donna talked about, the green leafy vegetables and the sea vegetables. Sometimes people will follow Body Ecology and not do sea vegetables very often. They're so mysterious to us. We don't really always know how to cook them. But they can be, you can even just simply, like Donna said, get some nori. We really like the Seaweed Man, Lars Hansen, theseaweedman.com. He's a big fan of Body Ecology. He actually contacted us and invited us to come out and look at his seaweed farm, which is, you know, in a pristine part of Maine with no industry and no boat oil. And he uses veggie oil boats that he, you know, he stains the boats himself with veggie oil and rows out so that there's no gas on the boats to pull the seaweed up through. And he will be happy to help you understand, like, if you have certain blood type, you want to find out which sea vegetable is best for your blood type. He will be happy to help you with all of that and answer your questions. And he really has a love for the Body Ecology system of health and healing. So he would be a great person to talk to if you want to order some sea vegetables and learn how to prepare them. Or even if you just want to buy some nori strips and just plain nori in its native form and heat it up in your oven at 200 degrees till it gets crispy and eat it like chips, or eat some dulse as a snack, or like Donna said, buy the shakers and, you know, the sea salt and sea vegetable shakers and put them on your food. So these are some things to really be bringing into your diet and making sure that you're doing on a regular basis, because and you know, incorporating the fats that Donna mentioned, so that you can really be focusing specifically on those organs and not just following the diet, but following it with the intention of bringing these foods in and emphasizing these foods while you're nourishing your thyroid and adrenals.
Heather, Donna, you know, reminded me too of sea salt. You have to eat salt, and this is a whole fascinating topic that we won't have time to get into here. But there's, of course, we have grown up for generations on something that we were told was salt. It comes like in a little blue box with a little girl on the cover with a, you know, umbrella in her hand. And I always tell people, instead of the little girl, that if they were being truthful, what was in that box, they would have had a little cross, you know, a skull bone with cross across it, because it's just a poison. It's a very, they took something that was salt and they refined it and took all the minerals out of it and put in sugar and other bicarbonate of soda and other chemicals and all, and then we've been eating that, and then you constantly see avoid salt, avoid salt. Well, that's smart to avoid what was in that little blue box and it's in all of our processed food, but you don't want to avoid real salt. Now, my favorite salt, the one I recommend most often and use myself, is the Celtic sea salt, and I use the fine grain most often for cooking. And then I have their wonderful new Hawaiian sea salt that is a finishing salt. So that's what you keep on the table, and you sprinkle it on top of things before you eat it. Now, people say, well, I love salt and I crave it, but you know, I know it's not good for me. That's not true. This kind of salt that we're talking about is very, very essential, and essential for the thyroid and the adrenals, and because they do have important minerals. And so if you find yourself craving salt, that's a sign of adrenal fatigue. Now, you can't correct your adrenal fatigue and your thyroid fatigue. You can't correct that with eating salt. There's not enough minerals in there to do that. But you can use the salt generously. You'll notice in the summertime, you almost have no desire during the hottest part of the summer. You won't want salt. But when winter comes and it's cold and fall and it starts to turn cold, you start craving more salt in your food. That's because the winter time is actually the season when the adrenals and thyroid start to heal themselves. It's the season of rest and stillness. Something I love to share with people is that if you watch the embryo forming, the first 28 days of our life when our body was formed, there is the sperm and egg come together, and then in the middle of that egg yolk is a little black line that shows up suddenly, and then there's 52 seconds of stillness, and that little line separates into two lines, and one of those lines is our digestive tract, and the other line is our brain and spinal cord. So you can see once they were connected, they were one. 52 seconds of stillness, and then those two lines turn upside down. 52 seconds of stillness, and then the heart comes lifting up off of those two lines, and then 52 seconds of stillness, and then the brain comes lifting up off the heart, just out of nowhere, just the creation of a brain, creation of a heart, and so on. And as you sit and watch that embryo, you can get videos of this and watch it in slow motion, and you watch that unfolding and see the 52 seconds of stillness, you start to realize that before anything is created, there's this precious time of stillness. To me, it's like the body is tuning back in to looking at the spiritual pattern, like how do you make a heart? How do you make a brain? And then the brain is formed. So to me, when I studied embryology and saw that, I immediately saw the importance of stillness. And stillness is essential for regenerating our adrenals and therefore then our thyroid, because remember, they're like one dancing together. So we have to have this stillness in our lives at times, not every time, because we're productive people. We're here to create, to use our bodies and our hands and our mouth and our brilliant brains to create something. But we have to always have this time of stillness. Well, the season of the year that stillness is all about stillness is the winter season, and the rest of nature is very obediently being still. You don't see trees, you know, doing leaves in the winter time. The tree does the leaves in the spring. So that's what we have to do. We are creatures of nature, and we live under the laws of nature, and we must follow the laws of nature to be healthy. And winter is the time for stillness.
So do you have a special protocol that you ask people to follow during the winter in particular?
Well, I think it's really critical to actually treasure the fact that we can sleep. I think that we need to stop looking into the computers and talking to people on our cell phones after 6 or 7 at night. We should have a meal that we digest, you know, that we chew thoroughly, and it's a simple meal that, you know, we recommend people can eat, of course, eat animal protein on the body ecology diet, but they eat it between 11 and 2 o'clock. The evening meal then becomes the meal where you have your vegetables, your grain-like seeds like quinoa, sea vegetables, dark green leafy vegetables, always some fermented foods. If you have a little bit of say quinoa, millet, and so on, those foods are a little bit more carbohydrate-like, and they have a calmness when you eat them. If after stage one and you want to add some other grains back into your diet, like oatmeal, and or I love whole oats, I think they're even much healthier than oatmeal, or want to add in properly cooked rice, and those grains have to be soaked. But let's say you want to start having those at dinner time, you're going to notice that you sleep much better. You get sleepy. Well, don't go stimulate yourself then with a scary TV show or a big action, you know, murder show or something, and pump your adrenals up. Just realize that it's so precious to sleep. So you want to prepare for sleep and get sleepy. And there's actually lights that you can purchase to put in your home or put on in the evening, or you can even use candlelight, that screen out the blue rays and put more red bulbs in, and then the red light gets in. There are actual bulbs that you can get online that help, you know, bring down, they'll actually make you sleepy, and you'll actually produce more melatonin if you stay in these kind of lights or if you'll stay in candlelight. You know, you can sit around with somebody that you love, your children or something, and play a card game that's just fun and relaxing. And pretty soon, around 8 o'clock, you'll start to notice that everybody's yawning, ready to go to bed, can barely get up to their bedrooms, and fall around 9 o'clock into a really deep sleep. Well, obviously, they're going to wake up a lot earlier, and the sun's out, and that's living by the sunlight, which is, again, really important to us, to live by the light of nature. So I think that that's a critical thing to do. And then everything that we've discussed about all the nutrients in the foods and the salt and the mineral-rich foods and the keeping out the sugar and the stimulating foods like caffeine and chocolate. You know, I know somebody's like thinking, I can't do that. I have to have my little piece of chocolate every day. But you see, those foods are addictive. So just right now, you had them this morning or this afternoon or something, and tomorrow you're going to crave them. If you will use your willpower, which is hard to do when you're eating them, but if you'll use your willpower to stay off the chocolate that day or that cup of coffee, the third day and then the fourth day, but the fourth day you've broken the addiction, you're good to go. When you are feeling that way, take a spoonful of cultured vegetables, drink some coconut kefir, pour yourself a little glass of, say, energy biotic that you've stirred in some potent proteins. You know, those things you do instead of giving in to the craving for the sugar or the chocolate or the caffeine. And then on the fourth day, you'll have lost it and you'll have broken the addiction and you have your willpower back in your own hands again. Then start to use your willpower to purchase the foods you need and the supplements you need and make the food that you need, and then get yourself into bed, get up in the morning and start to exercise and move the body. That's another great secret too, is being out in the early morning light, taking a walk, exercising. That's another thing that will make you sleepy at bedtime. Really, so much of what's wrong with us is that we've stepped away from nature instead of tuning in with nature. When we start to tune back in with nature, nature takes fabulous care of us.
I think that that is a really important statement, Donna, about getting back to nature, and even just the idea that one of the big frustrations is, boy, you know, making this food takes a long time. But if you think about it, you know, you are working with nature when you're working with whole foods, and we're so far away from it that we almost see it as an intrusion upon our day instead of a really wonderful time for us to sort of be still, put on some nice music, make some delicious food, and, you know, sort of connect to nature through the foods that we're making, the whole foods that we're making. So I think, you know, for me, when I first started body ecology, one of the biggest signs for me that I hadn't had energy was that it seemed like it was so hard to make food. And now that I have been on body ecology for so long, it's very easy to make food. It feels very natural to work with whole foods. I don't feel like I have no energy and I need to stop at the fast food window, or I need to open up a box and put something in the oven, you know, from processed food. So you're probably going to notice, for everyone listening, that as you create more energy, you're going to enjoy the process of cooking a little bit more. It's going to take some planning and maybe a shift in your schedule, but that shift will allow you to slow down and take, you know, connect with nature, just like Donna was saying.
Heather, can I just kind of interject?
Sure.
Right here that you
Absolutely.
Mentioned the word time. you know, time is, what is time? I mean, how much time do we have? What I'm teaching people here will greatly extend the time that they have on this earth. And then we'll have all the time to do anything we want to do. You know, we're so busy right now, and that we don't even take the time to step back and think, what is it that's important to us? And every single time I've been with someone at their death, which has happens to have been quite a lot of times, surprisingly, but in those last hours of life, nothing matters to anybody except the people that they love and their children and their brothers and sisters or their parents or whatever, you know, whoever's left, their special friends. It's even that, like, even the friends kind of begin to go away. And those people that are most important to you are there in the end. And what's important to you when you look back over your life is the integrity that you lived your life with. I think that we can all pretty much say that integrity today, like, we have been given an opportunity to come here and live a certain period of time and accomplish great things if we choose to, and grow and train and become better souls, and that, and then, and learn to love and to open our heart. And a lot of us are too busy to do that. And so time is, and what do we value? People do kind of wince and say, well, I'm not going to eat that way. I don't have time for that. But this is actually going to buy you time to do with your life what's most important, and buy you time to be with the people you love the most. So we have to change our value system, and we're born into a world that's completely against nature. It's a challenging time because we have to somehow sort through all this and begin to find out what's really, really important to us. But, you know, once upon, not so long ago, catching our food, preparing our food, and eating and storing our food through the winter was the most important value, or people didn't live. And now we have all this food available, but it's such empty, poisonous food. And so really, we've got to reevaluate what's important in life. So that's the most important thing. When you do that, you'll find time, and you'll begin to, you know, find the energy. The energy will come back. It's just running away from the tiger that we're doing all the time that is really depleting our energy most of all.
That's such a good point, Donna. And you know, as we talk about time, one of the things that you have taught in the Body Ecology Coach training is about this four-day protocol where you go into a dark room and you rest for 4 days, and it's kind of a nice way to get your adrenals back. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think that there will be places where people can actually go and be still. 4 days really isn't long enough. What you'll find if you could do this, like you could go somewhere and cut everybody and all the cell phones all out of your life, it takes the first couple of 3 days, you're still kind of running away from the lion. And on the fourth day is when you begin to truly feel tired. And then that's when you are ready to actually begin to sleep and rest and be still. And you think, oh, my goodness, what's wrong with me? I have no energy. On the 10th day, at some point along the way, before the 10th day, you're going to start to truly recover that core energy. And by the 10th day, if not sooner, you will be a different person, a completely strong, different person. I would love to see centers where people could go and be still and recover that core energy. A lot of people are going off to centers right now for detoxification. That's good. I'm not saying that's not a good thing to do. Or they go to centers where they get a lot of exercise and massage and beauty treatments. A lot of those type of centers are being set up. But we actually need stillness centers. And you know, it's hard for somebody to slow their life down unless they pick up and go away. And I see people, more of those type of centers actually being created out of necessity for the baby boomers. My book on anti-aging, it's called The Baby Boomer Diet, gives tremendous amount of energy, information on restoring your prenatal energy. That's what the book is all about. That's the secret to growing younger again. And that's what the book is called, The Baby Boomer Diet, A Guide to Growing Younger. And all the things that we've talked about here are in that book, probably in a more orderly, easier to understand way than I've explained it here. But this is the secret to not aging and to and recapture that core energy. We will need those moments of stillness in our life.
Such a good point. So I would encourage everyone listening to let's start some discussion about this, whether you want to do that in Facebook or in the online forum, to start talking about what is one step that you could take to start bringing more stillness into your life and what you start to notice when that happens. And even if you have a weekend or a week off, maybe consider doing a modified version of the staying in a dark room and staying still and seeing how that feels for you, because that can make a difference too. I've had people tell me that even if they just do it for a weekend, they feel so much better. So any step you can take towards that, I think, towards being still, as Donna's teaching us, I think is really, really important. Donna, you wanted to address tyrosine as one of the very important supplements for the thyroid.
It's an amino acid, and it's in animal protein foods. It's in beans, for example. It's in fermented soybeans. So I'd love for people to have natto and miso, because those are great, great, they're fermented foods to begin with, so they have all this excellent, good, healthy bacteria in them, but they also are a great source of tyrosine. Well, tyrosine is so special. It's the precursor to this amino acid. There's a substance in our brain called dopamine, and along with dopamine and vitamin B6, which is a cofactor, you've got to have B6 for your neurotransmitters and the brain chemicals to work. Vitamin C and some other supplements, like, for example, you probably heard of something called SAMe. All of these, vitamin C, B6, and SAMe, all help increase dopamine. Well, tyrosine is the precursor to dopamine. Now, why is dopamine important? Because the reason we crave sugar and caffeine is because, and drugs too, like heroin, people that are, you know, drawn to drugs, they usually have a low tyrosine. They're deficient in tyrosine. And also we become more and more deficient in it as we age. Well, the dopamine, there's like a little region in our brain called the nucleus accumbens, and it's one of the areas that produces a lot of dopamine. Well, when we have a lot of dopamine, this brain chemical, we feel wonderful. Like, that's the feeling you get, like if somebody called you on the phone and said, we've got a brand new Mercedes-Benz waiting down here at the dealership. You come right on down now and get it. Well, you would be heading down for your Mercedes-Benz, and you would just be ecstatic. That's high dopamine. People, as they become more and more deficient in dopamine, they are their life is getting flat. So they wake up every morning and they think, oh, another day, you know, and this is what happens to grumpy old men and women as they get older. It's like, okay, here's another day just like the other days, and I've got to live through it, and I'm going to be doing this today. That's that flatness. It's different from depression, yet when you're deficient in tyrosine, you actually become quite depressed too. It has a lot to do with regulating mood and memory. So it's a really important one for cognition, you know, thinking in a sharp way. Let's see what else to say about it. It's when your adrenals are down, you're also going to be deficient in tyrosine, and tyrosine, though, will lift up the adrenals, and as I mentioned before, it's critical for the thyroid. So you can take it as a supplement. You can go right to the health food store and buy tyrosine in 500 milligrams. You can take one in the morning, maybe one in the afternoon, or two in the morning. You have to kind of find just the right dose for you. Some people even need to take as much as 1,500 milligrams to get that boost. It's actually connected to preventing addictions, or as part of a therapy for people who are addicted to sugar and caffeine and drugs, alcohol. It's very, very excellent for Alzheimer's, for example. I recommend it often with autistic children that I work with. It's a wonderful amino acid for when you have chronic fatigue. Another thing, too, is it's real important for not having gray in your hair because it helps produce melanin. And when we lose the melanin and lose the stem cells in our hair, it starts to turn gray. But it's just take it as a supplement and see if it doesn't give you wonderful energy. I think between the secret of tyrosine and this using those calming as I mentioned before, that we've got to pull our adrenals out of that fight or flight mode so you can regenerate them, and then that secret, and then adding the tyrosine are like two of the most important missing links. So as I mentioned before, you can get tyrosine from animal protein, it's in animal protein, but we don't get it because all these other amino acids are also in there, and the poor tyrosine gets sort of doesn't have much of a chance to get in, so we don't assimilate enough of it, which is why people need to use it as a supplement. It's very synergistic with green tea, which also has increases our energy, and and green tea has theanine in it. So green tea is unusual because yes, it has a little caffeine, but yes, it has theanine. So it's very balanced. Green tea is a very balanced drink. Rhodiola, those other adaptogens that I mentioned that are nourishing for the adrenals and thyroid, they work really synergistically with the tyrosine, but you do want to be careful with it if you have schizophrenia or if you have a manic condition, if you have a lot of anxiety, and because of that you're taking antipsychotic drugs, then you have to be careful with tyrosine. You need to check with your doctor or not take it at all because those drugs inhibit tyrosine. The enzyme, an important enzyme, tyrosine enzyme. So that's the one time I'd say not to use it. But it's a wonderful thing. Try that to see if you find that you don't have a lot of energy. One very important tooth. Also, when you become deficient in tyrosine, it totally skews up your T4, T3, free T4. Those are the important. Reverse T3 is another one. Those are important thyroid hormones, and people go and get tests done, and then they get on thyroid hormone when actually all they might have to do is use the tyrosine for 2 months or 3 months. A lot of times with these amino acids, after about 3 months of using them, you're no longer deficient, so you wouldn't have to use them forever, just for, say, a good 3 months. But then again, it's also about digestion because we are eating a lot of protein, but we're not digesting protein. So I'm, again, always pushing for people to understand the importance of digestion and fermenting foods so that when we do eat protein, we get these amino acids broken down and they get into our cells. But I wouldn't want to end this call without talking about this really important amino acid. So it's tyrosine, T-Y-R-O-S-I-N-E.
And usually when they go to the health food store, if they're looking for it, it usually says L-tyrosine, right, about 500 milligrams.
Yes.
If anybody isn't sure, I know when I was taking it, I would open up the capsule and put some of the powder into a little container and start out with a smaller amount and see how I did on that. And if I felt like I needed more, I could take a little bit more. But if you take it and you feel like it's too much, you feel a little bit like you're racing or something like that, you can always just take less and open up the capsule and take half or even less than half of the capsule.
And you know, for weight, people that are having trouble with appetite, that very, very often just taking tyrosine, depression, weight loss, all these things, just taking a tyrosine, the amount that's right for you, that's the principle of uniqueness. One of our seven principles is the principle of uniqueness. So it's difficult for me to say everybody needs to take, I would never say everybody needs to take 500 milligrams or half a capsule or three capsules or two and two or something, because everybody's different. You have to find the right amount that works for you. But yes, if you're having a problem losing weight because you've got a problem with appetite, the hypothalamus that I mentioned earlier, which is connected to the thyroid and the pituitary and the adrenals, that hypothalamus is playing a role also in appetite regulation, and the tyrosine helps with that too.
That's such a helpful point. Thank you for sharing that. I wanted to ask you about any sort of symptom-specific suggestions that you might have. One of the big things that we get questions about is hair loss. Is there anything different people need to do or anything else people can do if they're experiencing dry, brittle hair or hair loss?
Well, not really. They can listen to this tape over and over again because I said a lot of things that were totally going to address that condition. But if you just take a look at the thyroid, when it's when you're having thyroid problems and it's hypoactive, you know, in other words, it's low. It's the thyroid is low. You will have dry hair and dry skin. And what does the thyroid need? It needs minerals, and it needs those good healthy fats. So that I see so often when I talk to people about what are they eating, they're not eating the good healthy fats that we recommend on the diet, particularly those ones that I mentioned earlier that are so good for the thyroid. Eat those and watch your skin start to become. And also because the adrenals are regulating hydration, the more you nourish your adrenals, then the more your skin is going to be moist because you're really truly hydrated, and that's showing up in your skin.
That's great. And then what about people who have cold hands and feet or they're just feeling cold all the time? Do you have any recommendations?
That's thyroid again. Yeah, absolutely. I used to have that problem myself, and today don't anymore. You know, there's something coming right around the corner, just moments away, and that's stem cell therapy, where we're going to be able to regenerate these organs with stem cells. There's a lot of controversy over the embryonic cells, human cells that, you know, and they're very regenerating, but there's more controversy and also potential danger around using them, although they're learning more about how to purify them and so on. But other types of cells, like the cells from the umbilical cord blood of healthy mothers that's purified, are very regenerating to the organs. And then also cells from the fat in our body, which are called mesenchymal cells, those can also go in and help restore the organs back to their original function. Now, in Europe for over 80 years, they have been using, because it's allowed all over Europe, not in our country, but definitely in Europe, for over 80 years they've been using the fetal cell therapy from sheep. And those are becoming more and more kind of popular. Lots and lots of, you know, well-to-do and famous people and people with a lot of money are finding their way to those forms of therapy. They're still not allowed in our country. But in the 80 years of using them in Europe, all over Europe, in many wonderful rejuvenation clinics and so on, they've never had a problem with them. They have 80 years of successful use. So learning about cell therapy, which is different from this stem cell therapy, but, well, it's similar but different, that's immediately available now, this type of cell therapy. I wish maybe perhaps we can get a special guest on to talk about that at another time, Heather, too, because we do need to restore these organs to their original condition with those kinds of therapies if we want to stay young. I write about that also in the book.
That would be such a great class. We should definitely do that. And, you know, you've also taught us all about a product called the BioMat, and if anybody wants to know more about that, just go to bodyecology.com and look under recommended products. The BioMat is a wonderful tool that it heats up, and it has amethyst and tourmaline, and it's got a lot of good gemstone energy. But the beautiful thing for somebody who's cold all the time is that you can sit on this BioMat while you work during the day and bring your core temperature up, or you can even sleep on the BioMat at night and bring your temperature up so that you start to feel very comfortable during the day. It's almost kind of like heat therapy, but it's got a lot of other side benefits as well.
Well, we give BioMats away to families with autistic children if people purchase them through us, and then we're able to, after so many people purchase them, we're able to, you know, pay for one to give away. And these children have big problems with their thyroid and adrenals, the autistic children, and they love their BioMat. They get on it, and it warms them up, and they have much more energy. So I'm a very big believer in the BioMat. It also raises your serotonin levels, and you just feel happier on it. There are two sizes. The large size, I think, is if you've got the money and you want to put it on your bed, massage therapist will put it on a massage table. But the $650 one, that the smaller one, is the one that Heather's talking about, that you can put in a chair or lie down on it. It's large enough that your whole trunk, from shoulders down to the you know, top of your hips, even if you're a large person, will fit on that that smaller size bio mat. And that's all it takes. You don't want to put your head on it anyway. Or you can move up and put just your legs on it too if you've got leg problems. But it's really one of the nicest tools out there, I think, for, you know, for regeneration and for, it just does many, many things. Calms you down, which I mentioned before. As soon as you get on it, you feel in about 5 or 10 minutes, there's this calming energy, and then you very, very often fall asleep actually on it. So, yeah, it's a very good tool. I'm glad you thought of that, to say that, Heather.
Yeah, I think it's one of the greatest things that that you've taught us about, Donna, is this tool, because it has so many benefits to it. In addition to the phenomenal healing foods, you know, we have these little tools we can use to help us move through a period of time where we might be nourishing our thyroid and adrenals and we need a little bit of help, and this is definitely one of those great things. And, you know, in terms of how long it takes to recover, what would you say to someone, you know, who was wondering, how long is it going to take me to recover from adrenal fatigue or from thyroid issues?
Well, that's impossible to answer that, because how willing are you to make the lifestyle changes that are necessary? Do you have access to the foods I'm recommending, the dark green leafy vegetables and the minerals and the supplements that I mentioned, getting the toxins out of your body through colon therapy done properly the way I teach it? That's major, major, just unbelievably hugely important in restoring your energy, because as long as those toxins remain inside of you, you're constantly poisoning yourself and poisoning your cells, and they don't have the energy. Then what was your constitutional energy? Were you born with a weak constitution like myself? So it's taken me, you know, I'm always working on keeping my energy up. It's for me and for most people, it will be a lifetime. Well, at the age of 64, obviously, for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, however long I'm allowed to live. My major focus is always going to be on keeping, creating more energy in my body, because I know how important that is. Well, somebody born with a strong constitution might not have to be as diligent about it as I would be. But so there's those factors too, like were you born with a strong constitution or not? If you weren't, then don't worry. You can still have an incredibly strong, healthy life. I think sometimes people that were born with a weak constitution were the ones that tend to take better care of themselves and then way outlive the others who were born with a strong constitution, took their health for granted, and died early. So weak constitution is not a bad thing. It's just that, you know, you just have to take care of yourself.
Absolutely. And so, you know, the idea here is it's principle of uniqueness based on how you came in and what kind of energy you came in with, but also how committed are you to really taking care of yourself and changing your habits and changing your diet. Those are all going to come into play. But, you know, any little step that you take is a really good step, and any step that you take, your body is going to be really happy about that. So if you picked like one thing from today's class and started to just really focus on that one thing and then maybe later on add something else, that in and of itself is going to be more important than how long is it going to take for you to get better, because you'll get better step by step until suddenly you feel much better than you ever thought when you look back to how you started. So patience in the process of healing is important. Taking care of yourself in the process of healing is more important than how long it takes. Donna, I also wanted to ask you, you know, you've just written this really wonderful book for baby boomers, but also for anybody that wants to learn how to age youthfully and healthfully. And I wanted to know if you have a message for people who, you know, to talk to people about the implications of not taking care of our thyroid and adrenals, and what message you have for people who want to feel young, vibrant, and look their best throughout their lives.
Well, ask me that question again. I'm not quite sure.
Are there any implications of not taking care of your thyroid and adrenals? And then, you know, that's the first question. And then the second question was just, is there a message that you have for people who just want to look and feel great the rest of their life?
Well, the implications of not taking care of them is misery, pain and suffering that's totally unnecessary, expense, unbelievable expense, People are going around now with no energy, trying to find it, you know, going to this doctor and trying this and spending a fortune on things they don't need. It's just, you know, time runs out. You don't, the time you do have here isn't quality time where you feel happy and full of joy and you love being with the people around you. And, you know, you just kind of, you know, this world can be hell or it can be heaven. And if you have the energy and your brain is really functioning well, then what you will spend, you know, you can create heaven. You have this power to create a heavenly-like world around you for yourself and for other people. So the cost of not doing this is just immeasurable. You know, we can't put a price on it. But I don't know, you know, what final word I would leave with anybody except for that there's a lot of information here, and I hope people listen to this over and over and over again until, and each time they do, I think they'll hear something different. And, you know, we have a system of health and healing that if you look at it, it looks like an overwhelming, you know, like, wow, there's a lot of information here. I don't know where to begin or what to do first. It doesn't matter with where you begin. Just like you said, Heather, pick up one tool that sounds interesting to you. A little while later, when you're comfortable with that first tool, pick up another one and keep going. You have the rest of your life to master it, and it gets easier and easier and easier until it becomes a way of life for you. And someday, Buddy Koji will disappear from this world, the system of health and healing. There won't be any need for us to teach this knowledge anymore because everybody will be living it, because it's a way we must live to live on this earth and be healthy and to live a long, long, long life. You know, if I were the creator of our physical bodies and I saw that we were dying in our 70s and 80s and thought that was a long time, I would feel very, very sad, because these bodies are magnificent. And when we understand that all we have to do is keep them well nourished and free of toxins, keep this life force in the organs, then these bodies just have way long, who knows how long, but way, way, way longer to live. And so this whole concept of death and dying and unhappiness and pain and suffering, it's something that someone made up along the way. It's not the truth. And there's a way, there really is an answer. And the simplest things like sunshine and water and good food and sleeping and learning to love yourself and opening your heart to others, that's the secret to creating heaven in this world. And that's why Buddy Koji seems like a lot, because we're trying to offer all this to people. But, you know, step by step, that's one of our seven principles. Just pick up a tool at a time and listen to this tape and learn all about your thyroid and adrenals, and you will start to have the energy to create the life you want.
Wow, Donna, I think that's a really beautiful message. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Oh, thank you, Heather. I always love these talks. I hope that they're really valuable to people, and I just really appreciate this opportunity to do this work and to get this message out. But, you know, the most important thing I think for people to understand is that right now, for the first time ever, we are being allowed to have information that our parents and grandparents and ancestors have never had what we have today. We have so much to be grateful for.
Absolutely. And, you know, before we close the class, one of the things that I wanted to say, Donna, is that I've always just been so impressed by how you bring in whole body healing, which would include mind, body, and spirit. It's you know, you are gifted to teach us the system of healing with food, but you're always focusing on emotional healing and spiritual healing and creating lifestyle and habits that help us heal as well. And so I wanted to share with everyone some thoughts from the book Boundless Healing. It's about meditation exercises to enlighten the mind and heal the body, and the author is Tulku Thondup. And what he's saying is that the mind is the source of true well-being. If we lack peace of mind, then what does it do to have youth, beauty, health, wealth, education, and worldly power? We can find many reasons to be miserable if we lack peace of mind. Somehow, even if we experience some happiness and excitement, we can even feel haunted by a void in our lives.
people who are chronically distressed, whether anxious or worried, depressed, pessimistic, angry, or hostile, these people have doubled the average risk of getting a major disease in the ensuing years. And in fact, what he's saying is that distressing emotion is almost double the risk of health problems compared to people who smoke. So in his book, he teaches that through meditation, we can learn how to encourage our minds to create a feeling of peace in the body, which can be as simple as relaxing and saying to ourselves, "Let my body be calm and peaceful now." And saying that and really feeling it, feeling like it's happening, that's the beginning of meditation. And it's the beginning of wisdom. And it's really what Donna has been talking about tonight. It's an approach that's a kind of a homecoming where we're introducing ourselves to our bodies and establishing a positive connection between mind and body. Oftentimes, we've had a rather strained and distant relationship to our own bodies. And we think of the body, you know, maybe we think thoughts like our body is unattractive or ugly or our health is poor. Or else, you know, maybe we like our body and cherish it and foster cravings around it. But even if we do cherish the body, we worry that it could be better than it is or that it could get sick and grow old. So we're often conflicted and ambivalent, which means that the body can be an object of anxiety. So I want to invite everyone to take a deep breath in. And as you exhale, just feel everything, all the stresses and anything you no longer need, just leaving your body. Taking another deep breath in and breathing in light and love. And as you exhale, feeling that stress, anything you need to let go of, just completely leaving your body. And as you breathe in again, just feel the beautiful golden light of the sun, almost like there's a ray of sunshine coming down through the crown of your head. And feel that sunshine warming your body, healing your body. And feel it just moving through to your neck area, to your throat, where your thyroid is. And see a beautiful blue light in that area of your body, connecting with that golden light of the sun. And feel your willpower and your creative self-expression and your energy growing and healing. And then your next breath, feel that golden light moving down through your body, all the way down to your adrenals, which is right in your lower abdominal area towards the back of your body. And just see a beautiful red light connecting with that yellow light of the sunshine. And feel yourself rooted and grounded to the earth, connected to nature. Feel yourself opening up to self-nurturing and self-love. And then feeling that golden ray of sunshine just move down, right down through the soles of your feet and into the ground, into Mother Earth, gathering up all the healing energy of Mother Earth, and then bringing it right back up into your body. And taking a deep breath in and exhaling. And you can, if you were closing your eyes, you can open your eyes. And that's as simple as meditation can be, where you visualize something beautiful, visualize your body and your organs healing, and visualize your energy increasing. And you'll be doing a lot of the things that Donna talked about tonight when she talked about all of the self-care habits that you could take that also help you heal your body. And so, Donna, thank you again so much for tonight's class.
Thank you, Heather, and thanks to everybody that's listening, that's taken the time. I hope everybody will really share this information with those around them that they love, because it's really important that we do this work right now. So I always appreciate you so much, Heather, too, for organizing these teleseminars for us.
Well, it's my pleasure. I always learn something every time I talk to you, Donna, so it's phenomenal. Thanks again for joining us.